Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 to 16. Christ's death, planned, plotted, prepared. First, God's plan was revealed. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Matthew 26. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." The Passover. This was the time chosen by God for Christ to die. Christ had avoided his enemies' plots to kill him, but now it was his time. He was the one to which the Passover lamb had always referred. The true Lamb of God would now take away the sin of the world. Man's plot was hatched. Look at verse 3, down to verse 5. And then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." And if you go down to verse 14, it says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver." So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. The high priest, who was called Caiaphas, he served as high priest from A.D. 18 to 36. An unusually long tenure. His longevity suggests a close relationship with both Rome and the Herodian dynasty. He was son-in-law to his predecessor as high priest, Annas. He controlled the temple and no doubt personally profited from the corrupt activities that were taking place there. His enmity against Jesus seemed personal and especially evil. Every time he appears in Scripture, Caiaphas is seeking Jesus' destruction. According to contemporary Jewish historian Josephus, Annas served as high priest from A.D. 6 to A.D. 15, then was deposed by Roman officials. He kept de facto power, seen in the fact that his successors included 5 of his sons, and Caiaphas, a son-in-law. Caiaphas was high priest during the time Luke describes, but Annas still controlled the office. Jesus was taken to Annas first after his arrest, then to Caiaphas. Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar. The Jewish leaders, who had been eager to kill him for so long, decided to postpone their plot until a more politically opportune time. And why? Because they were afraid of the crowd's possible response. But they could no longer control things because God's chosen time had now arrived. They counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. The religious leaders paid Judas the price of a slave to get to Jesus. Exodus chapter 21, verse 32. If the ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. So, the religious leaders paid to Judas, for Jesus, the price of a slave. That was his value to them. And third, Jesus' death was prepared. Verse 6, "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work to me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." At the house of Simon the leper. Simon is mentioned nowhere else in Scripture. He was probably someone whom Jesus had healed of leprosy. For lepers were deemed unclean and therefore not permitted to socialize or even live in the cities. An alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. Mark sets the value at more than 300 denarii. Nearly a year's wages. Very costly. Look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 3. "And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, he sat at the table. As he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, and she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, 'Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they criticized her sharply." John tells us this woman was Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus. So apparently Mary and Martha were serving the meal for Simon the leper. John chapter 12, verse 1. "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. And then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it." Matthew and Mark mention that she anointed his head. John adds that she anointed his feet and wiped them with her hair. For purposes of interpretation, a similar act of worship is related in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 38, but the differences in timing, location, and other details makes it clear that the two occasions were different. It reads that the disciples were indignant. John says Judas was the spokesman who voiced the complaint, and that he did it for hypocritical reasons. Evidently, the other disciples were quick to voice sympathy with Judas's protest. You have the poor with you always. Jesus certainly was not disparaging ministry to the poor, especially so soon after the lesson of the sheep and goats judgment. However, he revealed here that there is a higher priority than any other earthly ministry, and that is worship rendered to him. "She did it for my burial." This does not necessarily mean that Mary was consciously aware of the significance of her act. It's doubtful that she knew of his approaching death. It was simply an act of pure worship. And what a kickoff of the events leading up to the crucifixion. We see the prophecy by Jesus of God's plan of the ages, salvation, the ultimate expression of unselfish love. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In the context of God's plan, we can see the hatching of man's plot, a demonstration of selfish desire. The self-centered religious leaders desperate to protect their turf, and the pitiful Judas attempting to force Jesus' hand to deliver Israel. In amidst the developing drama, we see preparation of Jesus' death in the act of unconditional love by Mary. She was willing to give all that she had for God and His plan. What this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. This promise was guaranteed by the inclusion of this story in the New Testament. Both characters are remembered. Jesus, Mary's good deed, and Judas' evil deed. Judas betrayed Jesus to gain 30 pieces of silver, a small price of a slave. Mary anointed Jesus in giving 300 denarii, the wages for a year's labor. The one, Judas, sold out Jesus. The other, Mary, was sold out for Jesus. You have a great day.